Today, you will be with me in paradise. What consoling words were given to the good thief, and not to the bad thief, the good thief who stole heaven. A sinner before his Saviour sought salvation, and paradise was his on that day. This day is the solemnity of Christ the King. Christ is a King. The sentence above the cross tells us so. The prayer, the only prayer from heaven to earth, tells us if there's a kingdom, thy kingdom come. We pray for God's kingdom. Heaven is a kingdom. We are God's children and therefore princes and princesses in his royal family. And of course, his domain, how he rules, is through our hearts. The heart of Christ beckons us. The heart of Christ was wounded for us. It is the heart of Christ that we shall encounter at the end. And he calls us to partake of the grace that came from the heart, that it may dwell as his presence in your hearts and homes. This feast of Christ the King, which was established last century, was to bring Christ back to the centre of our lives. Because the world back then was becoming secular. Well, it's even more so today. And therefore, the task set before us is even more urgent. That Christ does reign, R-E-I-G-N, in our hearts and homes. And therefore, his grace permeates all that we do. In order that his grace does reside in our family and in our future, we need to always remind ourselves that he is the way, he is the truth. I say is the truth, not has the truth. You and I have truths. We learn things, we know things, and as we know, we assimilate unto ourselves and our intellect truths we did not know. Geography, science, music, whatever knowledge comes in, we have the knowledge. We can't lose it. But it's something that we now partake of, like bricks in a wall, we build them up. But none of us can claim what Christ claimed. He didn't say, I have the truth. He said, I am the truth. And people are blind to that reality. Ever since the beginning, you either open your eyes of your soul to Christ and allow his truth to take away the darkness that lies within, or you don't. Even in the creed, the only creed that's apostolic, which we say in the rosary, which we profess with devotion, one person's name is mentioned there apart from the Mother of God. Only one person gets his full name in that creed. It's not John the Baptist. It's not John the Evangelist. It's not Herod, Caiaphas, Nicodemus. It's a politician. And politicians, as we've seen in the news and will constantly see, love to be popular. That's how they have their reign. Their power is on popularity. Pontius Pilate was a popular governor of Judea, a Roman province. He wanted to remain popular. Therefore, he allowed Christ to die. So, politicians have always seen as number one priority in their life to remain popular, to remain in power, even in spite of the truth before him. Before him, Christ admits the reality that we celebrate today. I am a king. And if you could open your eyes of your soul, Pontius Pilate, you would see that my angels could, if I should choose, would come to save me. But you're blind, because you don't seek the truth. You seek to be popular. His eyes were closed. And therefore, he makes this stupid statement. After our Lord explains these realities to him, I'm a king, my kingdom. And Jesus says, I've come as a king to set free people from darkness and to admit them into the light of my truth. And he says, what is truth. Standing before the author of truth, he admits he doesn't recognize him. What is truth? That's the last words he spoke to him in this world. And Christ is taken off to die. We admit he is the truth. We seek him as the truth, and the truth that dispels all darkness. But we must open our hearts to allow that truth to lie therein. And one person who did that, one family who lived the reign of Christ in their home, was the Pro family in Mexico. There were 11 children, 4 died in childbirth. Of the 7 surviving, 2 of the sisters went off to become religious nuns. Michael, number 3, went off to become a Jesuit priest. Saint Miguel Pro, his feast day comes this week, and we ought to dwell upon his life. He came from a good Catholic family, but his country was no longer a good Catholic country. Communism had taken root, and in 1915 the church was shut down. The ministrations of a priest, or even just wearing clerical dress, was a crime. You could be arrested and put into jail. So he fled from Mexico to America and from America to Spain. In 1925, eventually finished his training. Jesuits have an extensive course they have to endure in the seminary. A pope is a Jesuit. They do extra studies. So eventually he was ordained after much suffering. He had stomach problems, and 3 times they had to operate on him. The second time, without anesthetic. He took his canon law book in, which is Penance and Love, and read that while they operated physically on him. He eventually gained some good health and was sent back to Mexico, sent back to die. Somewhat reminiscent of the 16th century when Edmund Campion, a Jesuit, would go back to England, once Catholic England, now Protestant, and to minister to his people. Being caught meant death. So he'd go into the underground and disguise himself. Edmund Campion did that, and so too would Miguel Pro. He was a practical joker at heart, a sanguine type, a bubbly one. People loved to be around him, and the Pro family were well known. Father Michael had been overseas, he's come back, and people sought him out. But he could not be seen saying Mass. He could not be seen ministering the sacraments anywhere. So he became a great disguiser. One occasion, he'd arrive at someone's door as a beggar and then baptise the children in the house that night. One occasion, he dressed up as a mechanic and had a mechanic's course that was really a wedding. People came to check on him, but no. They didn't know who he was. He was just a mechanic giving a course. In fact, it was a lovely wedding. And of course, people were dying in prison, so he dressed up as a policeman, went in, and gave the last rites to the faithful Catholics there. Whatever was required, he would do to care for his people, to bring them the consolation of the sacraments, to bring them God's reign, God's grace within their hearts and homes. But eventually, the authorities were sick and tired of hearing about Father Miguel Pro and his work in Mexico City and sought to trap him. Then there was an attempted bombing on the presidential entourage, and they blamed the Pro family. His family were now being persecuted. His brother had been taken. So eventually he was arrested and brought before the courts. He was falsely condemned to death for having done something, well, done nothing really. They said he was the cause of the failed assassination attempt. He wasn't, and that would be proven later. And he was lined up in front of the firing squad. He was going to be put to death. And his last request was, "Can I say some prayers? I'm a Catholic priest. Please let me kneel and pray." The communists, thinking to discourage people from the practice of religion, took film footage of his last few moments, which you can Google on YouTube and see the man himself. So he's saying his prayers, and he eventually gets up and says, "I want my crucifix and my rosary bead." He says, "The crucifix will be in this hand, the rosary beads in this hand." Why? The crucifix is the reminder that Christ died for us. Now, Father Pro will die for Christ. The rosary beads are the reminder that Mary stood by the cross and was faithful to the end. He's praying that he might be faithful to the end, but also that she may be with him. She's with the living, and she comes to us at the hour of our death. That was his now moment, the hour of his death. So he holds them both out and stretches his arms like Christ upon the cross. And he looks at those who are about to shoot him, his fellow Mexicans, perhaps all a Catholic or once were. And he says, I forgive you for what you do. May God have mercy on you. And then with his arms outstretched, please God, on this feast of Christ the King, the last words he uttered in life, you may profess yourself. He said simply, Viva Cristo Rey. Long live Christ the King. And there died. 2 years a priest in the year 1927. The communists were gleeful, joyful that they had finally captured and put to death Miguel Fry. Little did they know what would then happen. The funeral procession, not 20,000, but 40,000 people, went in procession in honour of this martyr to the Catholic faith. And this was the beginning of the change that would bring Mexico back to the faith. So let us never doubt the power of Christ, his reign and his domain. May we always live in his grace and seek his truth. Praise be Jesus Christ.